VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, it was March 26, 2019, when Senator Mitch McConnell brought forth a vote in the United States Senate on the Green New Deal. It went down in flames, 57-0, with all Republicans and four Democrats who blocked the resolution. 43 Democrats, including those who introduced the measure, voted only present. Many thought the so-called Green New Deal was dead. It was over, never to be resurrected. Well, our guest today points out there is nothing that could be further from the truth. As local communities around the country are making efforts to implement the Green New Deal, city by city, jurisdiction by jurisdiction, joining us today to discuss this measure, we welcome back Tom DeWeese. Tom is president of American Policy Center, one of the nation's leading advocates of individual liberty, free enterprise, private property rights, personal privacy, back to basics education, and American sovereignty and independence, and protecting our constitutionally guaranteed rights. He's a former newspaper editor, author of Sustainable, The War on Free Enterprise, Private Property and Individuals, and Erase, a political novel. Tom, good to have you back with us here on Crosstalk.
It's good to be with you, Jim. Thank you.
You have warned, Tom, a very long time about the threat of the Green New Deal, and you also warned that as Republicans were laughing about the Green New Deal, that there was a lack of understanding of the real agenda behind it. It's been a year now since that vote and that defeat in the Senate, and you're saying that, hey, this thing is not dead. But before we tell how this is being implemented, first give us, as brief as you can, a synopsis of what the Green New Deal is or what its goals are to help us in our understanding.
Basically, the Green New Deal is a complete top-down control of every aspect of our lives. One of its goals is to get rid of gasoline-driven cars, of course, to stop any kind of what we call fossil fuels, transforming everything to wind and solar. And ownership of private property is considered racist. They want to take every single building in the country and either tear them down or retrofit them to meet specific environmental standards. And absolute control over our energy use.
I think coupled with that, you've been on this program talking before about the attack on beef. So the ending of beef consumption is part of this too, isn't it?
That's that. And we're working very closely right now with many cattlemen who are feeling the pressure of that being implemented, and then also you've been hearing about this universal payroll, mm-hmm. that everybody earns exactly the same money. That also is in the Green New Deal.
Wow. Wow. Well, Tom, yeah. you actually believe that Republicans in Congress have a lack of understanding of what the true agenda is behind this Green New Deal. What causes you to reach such a conclusion?
Well, first of all, as we've been talking about Agenda 21 and sustainable development for 27 years, they've ignored us, Republicans as well as Democrats. And when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the others brought the Green New Deal up, the Republicans just laughed. And they said, this is just crazy radical. If they'd been listening to us for 27 years, they'd know it wasn't crazy radical. They'd know what the goal was. But, of course, this caught them flat-footed. And, McConnell immediately put together, as you said, a vote on it, 57-0. They laughed, ha ha. They didn't even vote for their own bill. That was the line that they came up with. And what I said at the time was that the Democrats, the very hard left, had really set a trap for the Republicans, because what they did was they did a classic move. They came to the negotiating table basically, and they tossed the football about 3 miles down the road. Oh, how radical. That's crazy, crazy. Ha, 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 57-0. That's the end of it. Well, then along comes several members of Congress. Matt Gaetz, unfortunately, was one of them, who comes out and says, we need to just be more reasonable with this. So here I've got the real New Deal. and he introduces this. And then Lamar Alexander from Tennessee comes out with his own bill, more reasonable. This is how they started to address it. Well, what happened was the basics of this whole crazy idea were beginning to be accepted as mainstream, but we just need to have a more reasonable way of putting it together. And that's how they've accomplished it.
Wow. Tom DeWeese with us today from the American Policy Center. Tom, you indicate that NGOs, now that's non-government organizations, that they've been hard at work. Who are these NGOs and what have they been doing?
You've got thousands of these NGOs. Non-governmental organizations are actually sanctioned by the United Nations as a real entity there. And once they're sanctioned by under that, then they are able to work in the back rooms at the UN and put plans together. They take their own private agendas and put them together. This is how Agenda 21 came together. These are groups that include the Nature Conservancy, the Sierra Club, the World Wildlife Fund. It also includes the National Education Association and Planned Parenthood. These are all UN NGOs who are using the structure of the UN to put these policies out front and to promote them. And so as you go through Agenda 21, which is really, the Green New Deal, Agenda 21 is the same thing. And they've created an agenda for our future.
Now, is this also things like the National Conference on Mayors and National Governors Association?
Well, these are, organizations that a lot of people think are government organizations, the National Mayors Conference, the National Governors Association, the National League of Cities. But they are actually 501c3 private organizations. They're working hand in hand with these UN NGOs to accept these things. The National Conference of Mayors has promoted climate change policies, and right down the line they all have done that sort of thing, putting these things in place. Sustainable development is the main agenda for all of those organizations. And here's what we do. We elect city councilmen, county commissioners, state representatives, whatever. And the first thing we do is send them off to these national organizations like the National League of Cities, or you send your mayor to the National Mayors Conference, and the people they're listening to speaking from the podium are these NGO organizations. And they're saying, here's the latest program we're putting together. Hey, we've got sample legislation for you right here. And then they come home, and they're met by representatives of those same groups saying, hey, did you get that sample legislation? Hey, we've got the whole thing right here in a box for you, and we've got the money for you, too, because what's feeding this is the grant money from the federal agencies, the NGOs working in Bill Clinton's sustainable development policies, his group that he put together. They were working hand-in-hand with the leaders of corporations and also every single federal agency, and they wrote these grant programs, and in to comply with the grant program, they put in the sustainable agenda, and that's how it's becoming. Mm-hmm. You see the signs of it. You'll see, of course, you see the bike trails and bike lanes in your streets. You see they're putting together these development plans for the future. And all these kind of things, that's all being driven by these federal grant programs and the NGOs pushing it in the background.
Wow, wow. And we just observed, I mean, just within the last day or two, our own governor raiding money from the transportation fund, to fix roads or build roads, and instead putting them in on bike trails and walking trails and the like. Each of these organizations, a lot of these are working on a local level, I see, like the National Association of Counties and Council of State Governments, National Governors. There's a lot of local involvement here. As you've been observing this and been tracking this, Tom, what are you observing? What's happening in state legislatures? What kind of things are being passed and being promoted?
One of the main things we're looking at is the attack on single-family homes. It started in Minneapolis, where the mayor there declared that single-family homes are racist because these are people who are self-segregating themselves from people they don't want to live next to, and they began to take away the movement to take away zoning to protect single-family neighborhoods, which means now they can bring in high-rise apartment buildings and so forth, low-income government buildings, that sort of thing. And then you saw, I saw this go into Chicago in some similar language. I saw it go into Baltimore. And I know this is, a lot of this is coming from a HUD grant that is promoting this. And, then the biggie was Oregon. The state legislature of Oregon passed, a bill to eliminate zoning for single family homes. And there they said, the governor said, we have a housing crisis. And now the reason they say they have a housing crisis, Portland, Oregon, was a poster child for sustainable development and all these policies we're talking about. So for the last 20 years, they've been implementing these things. They put in what they called an urban growth boundary around the city, and they said no growth outside of that boundary. And so, you know, you can't develop out there. That's urban sprawl. That's a bad thing. It makes people want to drive cars and so forth. And, of course, you put this development plan together where everything is downtown. You get the high-rises there. You get and in them, you get the control over energy. People stop driving their cars. They take public transportation, walk or ride bikes, all the stuff that we've talked about over all the years on this stuff. Well, the interesting thing is, in Portland, Oregon, while this they put these urban growth boundaries in place, the population has grown by 80%. And all of a sudden, they have a housing crisis. Duh.
Yeah.
That's the reason.
So rent controls then are placed on landlords as well?
Now, this is the next thing. As we're building all of these high-rises, and most of them are becoming rent rather than buying them, condos, and then they decide, this is what happened in Baltimore. The NAACP filed a lawsuit against they wanted to have government housing into these nicer neighborhoods because that's only fair, and then they said, well, it's not fair for the landlords to charge more for rent, and this is the movement that's going across the country that landlords are not allowed to even ask, can you afford to rent my property? That's racist, you understand.
Wow.
And so what's going to happen here is step by step, as this stuff is put in place, landlords are going to go out of business, and all housing everywhere will become government housing. That is the Green New Deal, and that is where all this is leading.
And folks, little by little, community by community, these are the kinds of things that are being implemented when you have bills that are passed to eliminate that single-family housing and putting high-rise apartments and public housing into neighborhoods, removing those issues pertaining to zoning issues in communities. We are seeing it right before our very eyes. We're going to take a quick break. Tom DeWeese is with us today from the American Policy Center. By the way, his website, AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. We'll be back with more information, folks, to help you open your eyes that local communities are implementing the Green New Deal. It's underway as we speak. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, anything new found in outer space recently?
Chris, there's always something new. Recently, the Hubble telescope located several giant gaseous planets orbiting around burned-out stars. Now, gaseous planets are not strange. Jupiter, Neptune, Saturn, they're all large and gaseous, so that's not a problem. What is a problem is that the Big Bang theory dates these at 12.7 billion years old. This, according to the theory, is much too soon after the Big Bang to have formed the heavy elements which are present. They just don't know what they're going to do. Well, I don't know what they're going to do either, but I do know what they should do. They should give up the Big Bang theory because it's wrong. It doesn't fit the evidence. There's got to be a better way. And there is such a way. It's found back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Yeah, folks, the alarm bells are ringing. The Green New Deal is not dead. It's being implemented community by community, sometimes state by state. Here in the United States, Tom DeWeese with us today, president of the American Policy Center. Again, their website, AmericanPolicy.org. We're talking about how the Green New Deal is not dead. It's being implemented in communities, in states, things happening in state legislatures. We talked about the passing of the bills to eliminate the single-family housing, the high-rise apartments going up, and rent controls. And Tom, also coupled with that are the building regulations to meet all the new environmental standards with that, too.
Yeah. It's interesting because we have right now, as I mentioned, when they go to these national meetings of these NGO organizations, and some of the things they run into, you can look in your own community, see if these are there. There's one called Form-Based Codes, and this is an NGO program that is designed to make all structures of buildings so that they all are built exactly alike. They've done a scientific study of energy use. And if you make it this way, then we'll really cut down on your footprint there and how it is. And the result of this is if you drive around the country, you go from Maine to Arizona, two completely different places that used to always have their own unique look, you start to see buildings that look exactly alike. That's form-based codes. The other thing they do is they have a thing called What Works Cities. That's another NGO program. And they're telling them, this is what we're putting everywhere. This is what we're working on. This is what works. And all have the same standards and so forth. And I had a report from some activists that went to a city council meeting and tried to stand up to this stuff and talk about it. And a councilman got up and he said, this is what's trending. Oh. Okay,
yeah.
Everything's fine then,
Yeah, wow. And then even in, I think it's California, looking about energy use, has got to be wind, it's got to be solar.
They have passed a law there that by within 10 years that has to happen. And this is incredible because the wind and solar have proven not work. And I had an expert several years ago tell me at that time, if they wanted to just use wind and solar to make up the shortage of electricity at that time. This is over 10 years ago. To make up the shortage of electricity in California at that time, using just wind, you would need an area the size of Connecticut, of a forest of windmills, to try to bring that up. It doesn't work. And what's going to happen is, first of all, they'll in California, as this begins to put in place, they will have to start putting energy curfews on to the use. If you're living in these high rises, clear up on the top floor, and at night, well, there'll be an energy curfew, and the elevators won't work, and you won't have any lights and so forth. You'll have to get everything done before it gets dark. There won't be any second and third shifts for the factories, so on and so forth. This is where it will lead. And I'm always fascinated as I hear all this stuff brought together. We look at a country like Venezuela or the Soviet, or what was, Russia, or, any of these countries where communism put in place, and all of a sudden the economies, just dump, and everybody lives in total misery and poverty. Why is that? Step by step, we are watching this be put in place all across America. This is how it's done.
You know, what's interesting, and I can't help but interject this, the new environmental hazards that are coming about now with these wind turbines, for instance, not only are we seeing such massive kills of birds, eagles, etc., but we also now have wind turbine blade graveyards, these blades that are no longer use, and they're stacking them, trying to bury them in the earth. They don't know what they're going to do with these used blades.
There, I got a report, there's something like 4,700 wind turbines that are obsolete, that are not working. They're just sitting there dormant. And not biodegradable. It takes more energy to build one of these turbines than it will ever generate in its lifetime. And I've said many times that you take almost any one of these so-called environmental plans to make things better for the earth are more damaging to the earth than what we're already doing.
Tom, I'd like to, in this whole aspect, I saw California's governor here just recently tweeted out his proposal to treat homelessness as a health care issue, saying doctors should be able to write prescriptions for housing the same way they do for insulin or antibiotics. We need to start targeting social determinants of health. We need to start treating brain health like we do physical health. And we've got Senator Ted Cruz just mocking this, saying, hey, this is a leftist mind. Write a slip of paper and a house will magically appear. Never mind that the person doesn't have a job, the contractor can't get a California permit to build the house, rent control has caused a housing shortage, and he goes on. But have you ever heard of writing a prescription for a house?
No, but these are clever guys. they just keep coming up with this kind of language. Everything is designed to make you let your guard down and think that they're just trying to help you. And I when you told me about that earlier, I was reminded of the scenes in the movie Dr. Zhivago, where communism took over Russia, and people who had mansions and so forth all of a sudden had to have many more families living under their roof, and they were allowed to live in a back room somewhere in their own house.
Yeah.
And, you know, here we are. I've got a report here from, Bernie Sanders, and he's talking about housing for all, and he's got a $2.5 trillion price tag on it. And, and your doctor there, the housing doctor, do they have a limit on what kind of house these people can have?
Yeah.
Or
My.
Is it just their choice because that's fair?
Yeah. And some places are actually proposing legislation to force homeowners to take in the homeless.
Well, there you go. Exactly. The scene from Dr. Zhivago.
Wow.
There it is.
And speaking of California, I saw one other thing, and they're pushing for this basic income, this universal income. Anybody over 18 getting $1,000 a month, legislation introduced by Evan Lowe. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the same guy we talked about yesterday on this program who's wanting to find businesses that have separate girls and boys, clothing departments. Everything's got to be gender neutral. Now he's proposing, Tom, here, that universal basic income $1,000 a month.
Yeah, we'll all be equally poor. How fair? You know, that's where it comes down to. And they never, ever consider all these things that are destroying jobs, destroying even the goal of younger people. You know, we always have the goal to make something of ourselves, an individual goal to build our own lives and so forth and achieve our dreams. All that's gone now. We're a collective where we're all looking into the. Nobody can get ahead of the other because that's not fair. And I think it all started with the everybody gets a trophy for participating, and now we're going to get $1,000.
Tom, you've got a report from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. What do we learn from that report?
They said the Green New Deal could cost households in 11 states at least $70,000 a year, each house, putting this into place. And what they're really focusing on, it said the $70,000 is increased costs for electricity, upgrading vehicles, in other words, electric vehicles, and housing, and what we've already talked about, how the housing will be changed, and shipping. This is another big target of theirs, the shipping goods. If you see a map of a true sustainable city, what it really calls for is that urban growth boundary around it, but also on the outskirts of it are open space that are to be farms, so that every single community raises what it needs right there, and you don't ship anything. So the entire trucking shipping industry would be done away with. And, that's part of what they were looking at here in this plan.
Again, folks, $70,000 increased cost for every home for electricity, upgrading vehicles, upgrading the housing, shipping, just under the first year of the Green New Deal. And, Tom, I saw that it would also have impact upon the ag industry, decreasing crop yields and even raising costs that would devastate our state's dairy sector.
Yeah, this is where what they're moving towards. Getting, we used to when we first started fighting Agenda 21. We kept saying that what they're trying to do is herd people off the rural areas into the cities, and people say, "Oh, well, how do they do that?" Well, you do it by making it impossible to live there. Why do you do that? Because people living in the rural area are able to take care of themselves better than people in the cities, be more independent, and that's a danger to these plans. And, you know, if you say that sounds radical, just listen to what guys are constantly saying. Yeah. And these plans that they put together and what they're doing. As we mentioned earlier, the cattle industry and also the dairy industry are under siege right now. They have been under siege for a long time by the animal rights movement and, of course, the environmentalists. And to my utter shock, a year ago I learned this, and I've been battling it ever since, that the World Wildlife Fund, probably the most powerful NGOs, one of the top three NGOs in the world, and they advocate that the way we have to, what we have to do to save the earth is to, one of the things is to stop beef consumption. They have wormed their way into the beef industry. They've created the Global Beef Sustainable Roundtable, and this is dictating rules and regulations on the beef industry and what they have to do to be sustainable. And what they've done is they've gotten control of the packing companies. The packing companies have the market. They're the ones that sell the beef. The cattlemen have to sell to them. They don't have the market themselves. So they're at their mercy. These packing companies, you've got Tyson, you've got Cargill, you've got one called JBS, one called National Beef, you've got Swift. These guys are dictating the cattlemen how they have to raise their beef in order to be sustainable and sell their products. But what they're really doing now, they've removed the country of origin labeling, so we know where the beef is coming from. So now they're getting beef from other countries that are following all these rules, and it's cheaper, and it's a lower grade, and actually could be not safe. You hear lots of reports, particularly about chicken, that is not safe and being taken off the shelves. And this all works in their favor because once you're afraid to buy the product, then you stop eating it. That's their goal.
Tom, I know, and we have just a minute from a break, and we're going to look at some solutions because it's not only naming the problem, but you've got some action steps, some solutions as well. But take a moment here just to give out your website here so our listeners can start maneuvering and seeing what you have available.
Sure. We have the American Policy Center. Our website's AmericanPolicy.org. And we have, first of all, a really extensive archive of articles that I've written on these issues for years. So you can kind of see it all step by step. And we've worked hard over the last several years to implement tools to help people fight back. And we've got some manuals and a work. Actually, there's a little booklet on there, Agenda 21 and How to Stop It, that you can actually download for free off of the website, or you can buy the booklet. And, of course, my latest book, Sustainable War on Free Enterprise, Private Property, and Individuals, I've got people now buying copies of that and putting it in the hands of their local elected representatives. So it's making a point.
Okay, folks, the website again is AmericanPolicy.org. So we're going to be getting to some solutions in the next segment. Also, in a few minutes, we'll be opening some phone lines here as well. So be ready with your questions when we open those lines here. But this is Crosstalk. You need to be informed what's taking place in communities across the nation. I'll give you a case in point right after the break.
The phone rings and your heart stops. You look down at the screen and see the name of your dear friend who has been waiting for biopsy results. As your shaking fingers fumble to answer the call, your heart cries out a silent prayer. You immediately hear the shock and sadness in her voice. You know, even before she utters the words, it's cancer. What do you say? What do you do at such a time? You want to be supportive, but don't know how to. In the book, Loving Your Friend Through Cancer, cancer survivor Marissa Henley shares from her heart the struggles of cancer, but also presents very practical ideas on ministering to your friend or loved one with emotional needs, spiritual needs, tackling logistical needs, and far more to lend support. Loving Your Friend Through Cancer is available for a donation of $16 or more from VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Tom DeWeese, our guest today, and indeed, local communities are implementing the Green New Deal. I'm going to share what's happening today. As we do this program today, the City of Milwaukee and the County of Milwaukee has what they call the City-County Task Force on Climate and Economic Equity. Matter of fact, as this program is going on, that City-County Task Force is meeting. They're meeting this afternoon. But as I look at some documents here, this is drafted February 25th, 2020. It's on City of Milwaukee letterhead. The chair of the committee is, it looks like it is Brian Kennedy, Milwaukee County Intergovernmental Cooperation Council. And or this is written to him, rather, by the various aldermen and members of this committee. And here's what they say. The City of Milwaukee Common Council and Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors have established the City-County Task Force on Climate and Economic Equity to convene area leaders for the purpose of making practical recommendations consistent with the 2018 United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and United States Global Change Research Program Fourth National Climate Assessment Reports, so our community may achieve net greenhouse gas emission reductions of 45% of 2010 levels by 2030, achieve net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2015 or sooner, and mitigate racial and income inequality through green jobs. They talk about a roadmap of required and measurable governmental actions to accomplish greenhouse gas reduction goals, suggest policy changes and investments required to simultaneously reduce racial and income inequality, and determine how local governments within Milwaukee County may be able to assess and map vulnerabilities to climate change by neighborhood and by community. Tom, it's right here, just blocks from where I'm speaking.
Yeah, this is, I mean, first of all, what you just said through all that is about three different layers, new layers of government, you know, and there is no way that you stand up for your rights, your liberty, your private property, or anything else with all of those layers. They make it harder and harder every day. And equity. The equity in what? There's nothing there. It's just hot air is all it is. And green jobs. We're going to save the poor with green jobs. Really, we're destroying industry after industry and diminishing jobs by doing this. So it is nothing but a bunch of propaganda and hot air. It will solve nothing. It will create all kinds of new crisis that we've never seen before in this country, and you know, and somehow, some way, as through all this, they keep blaming capitalism on it, mm-hmm. while they destroy capitalism. It's just amazing.
Folks, our telephone number here to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829 to get on board here. But, Tom, let me ask you this. You talked about all these layers here in just this proposal alone. We observe what's going on in a number of states and a number of communities. How do we deal with this? Can this agenda be battled? I mean, where do we go from here?
Yeah. Well, first of all, a lot of that is being put together by these NGOs and everything we just described earlier. Our city councilmen to, you know, these national meetings and so forth, our county commissioners, they come back and start to implement these things. They're implementing these, it's talking there about the regional governments. So your local county commission, for example, have had their power diminished, even if you elect them to do a specific thing, and they were good people, and they said, hey, we're going to do all this. They get in there, and now they're under the control of a regional plan that's covering maybe 10 counties, and everybody's doing it, and they're applying for the grants and so forth. And so you have this level there that they just can't get by. But here's one thing that people need to understand. The only reason that these non-governmental organizations and all these regional things and everything have any power at all is because your local elected officials give it to them. They think this is the proper role of government. What we need to do, two things. First of all, fighting on the local level is the most important thing you can do. This is where we can begin to change things. And what I've said is, what we want to do is create freedom pods. that your community isn't participating in all this stuff. How do you do that? You have to get involved in the election process and get good people elected, but you also have to take some of the people who are there. There are good people on councils and legislatures and so forth, but many times they just don't understand, and as we said, they're inundated by so much of this, and they think, well, this is what's happening, this is what we need to do. So we need to educate them. We need to educate local acts and local community people to stand up against these things, show up at public meetings and express yourselves, but understand what it's all about. So what we're working to do to accomplish those things is I've put together a 5-point action plan, and a major part of the action plan is training seminars, working to put training seminars together regionally in various communities to begin to train local activists what these programs are, first of all. That's most important, and how they're all interconnected, and then how to stand up to them. Many times, we can sit there and talk about everybody's got to go down to City Hall and they've got to do something. People don't know what to do, and they're intimidated when they get there. The opposition knows how to intimidate them, and so they stay quiet and don't do anything. Then they come home and say, well, that didn't work. We need to train activists so they know how to do this. You know, Sam Adams said you don't need a majority to prevail. You need an energized minority ready to set fires of freedom. And that's what we're going to try to do. The other part of this is getting to those elected officials who are good people, who really do want to fight, but they're overwhelmed, they're a minority. And we can teach them how to stand up against these things. And what I want to do is cause an insurrection inside. And those two things working together can become a pincer move, just community by community, and begin to pick away at it.
Folks, more info at AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. Going to the phone lines, a caller from Milwaukee. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, when President Trump pulled America out of the European Green Deal, the Milwaukee City Channel here TV, the city government was convening, and they laughed at him, and they said, we're going to do it anyway, regardless of what he does, and they're going to put 15 garden, rooftop gardens or something like that on buildings, and they want to do solar energy for heating and cooling in the libraries for Milwaukee, as well as city buildings, and they want to get this all done as soon as possible. Yeah. They're into solar right now with some companies trying to get that going.
Wow. Tom, the implementation is on.
Absolutely, and yeah, there have been several places. I mean, of course, the government in New York, government in California, and so forth, immediately stood up and said, "We'll do it anyway." There have been governors across the country. This is why, where we have failed as we've tried to, fight back on these things. Yes, we need to get a president elected who understands and does, what's going on here. But literally, you could reelect Donald Trump, but if your mayors, your governor, your state legislatures, and so forth don't get it, and they keep implementing these things, There's nothing he can do by himself. Yeah. So we need to get him allies and working in your community with your city council and your mayors and working there where you can literally get your hands on them and be in front of them and they hear you. The higher government goes, the farther back you are standing and having any kind of impact on them. And that's why I'm not even talking about Congress at this point. But on your local level, you make a difference there. That will move up to the, first of all, in your community, then it moves up to the county, then it moves up to the state legislature, and now you begin to make some big difference. But if you try to start just with president, and everybody's all excited we're going to get Donald Trump reelected, and I want to do that, but he's got to have some allies helping him down on the lower levels, and that's what we need to do.
Let's go next to Kay in Foley, Alabama. Hi, Kay. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to mention, I heard Agenda 21 and Green New Deal mentioned. I haven't heard anybody mention Agenda 2030, which is actually worse, and seeks to remove all private property rights and have everybody having to live in high-rise apartments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all. Thank you, Kay. And Tom has been with us several times doing that. But 2030, Agenda 2030, Agenda 21, it's all tied at the hip here, Tom, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all the same thing. What they do periodically at the UN to energize their own troops, they have yet another global meeting, and then they put here's the latest. And it's always exactly the same plan. They just get more detailed with it. And that's what Agenda 2030 is. It's Agenda 21 more detailed. It's what they had in mind all along. But now they're, and now we have the Green New Deal. And it is, you know, they've really taken the wraps off of that one. And, but it's exactly Agenda 21. But, they just put it in stronger language.
Wow.
Well, what I want to know is, Mr. DeWeese, do you have, on your website, do you have sample letters and things like that that we can use to send to our governors and other people closer at hand so that we and our legislators, both national and local, do you have any sample letters that we can tap into and use?
Tom?
Well, we've got in the booklet, Agenda 21 and How to Stop It, all the background, where it's and so forth. I'll be honest with you. What we do have in there is a resolution for the protection of property rights, and the sample is in there, and it also tells how to use it. And this is something that you can put in front of them, because the reason I focus on property rights, if we protect property rights at the local level, they can't implement most of the rest of this program, and. You know, people get so stretched out because we could go, you know, look at all the things we could bring up here. We've got the mandatory vaccinations. We've got gun control. We've got the education system, what's going on there. And people don't know which direction to go. And so what I've tried to do is pinpoint. If you're stuck with property rights and we could really protect the property rights, your home and all these things we're talking about they're doing with property, I mean, this includes businesses and everything else, then they can't implement these programs in the manner they want to, and we can really put a monkey wrench into it.
Okay, thank you so much for the call. We're moving on to Lewis, our next caller. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, and good afternoon to you good people, and God bless you. My issue is, Tom, the green issue is that more Christians should be involved to go to these closed-door so-called private meetings. I have found in the past going to those meetings, I was only so-called lone wolf, and the opposing people would be shouting, screaming, making hand gestures that my time was done. Even though everybody else was allowed 15, 20 minutes to speak, I was given maybe 30 seconds, and then I was threatened with police, obviously being arrested and whatnot, everything in the sun. Even though I was very proper, kind, courteous words, and very diplomat on addressing the issue, but the opposing people were allowed to use vulgarity, hand gestures, everything. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, more Christians should get involved. They should be the light, not just be salt and salt stick, but on the shelf. But more Christians should get involved in these closed-door type meetings to spy and obviously reveal, and they use their mouth to state that they oppose certain issues that is obviously bringing the earth more into a fire and damnation. We don't need that yet.
Okay, and I'm going to have Tom quick comment before the break. Tom, that's what you're doing. You're saying people, you need to get involved.
Absolutely, and you need to understand what this is all about. I just always lament that these forces on high give us 3 minutes to address them.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Or in Lewis's case, 30 seconds. Thank you, Lewis, for the call. I'm up against a break. We'll be back with some more calls afterward. Tom DeWeese with us, the website AmericanPolicy.org. Back in a minute. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Have you ever heard of the Council for a Livable World? The Council for a Livable World was started by a man that was connected to the Socialist Party in Hungary. He started it here in America as an advocacy group to do what? To disarm America, to gut America's military. The Council for a Livable World eventually was run by Al Gore Sr. Al Gore Sr. and his wife recruited a young man to run for the United States Senate when he was 29 years old. His name? Joe Biden of Delaware. The Gores also were involved with Armin Hammer. Armin Hammer was known to be a Soviet agent and was under investigation by the FBI.
Think about this. America's communist enemies putting elected officials into office to gut our military so we lose.
Folks, these issues are likely going on in your city, county, or state, and you may not even know about it. Tom DeWeese is raising your level of understanding and consciousness to it and encouraging you to get involved on a local level. And you can get details through his website, AmericanPolicy.org. Let's go next to Susan, who's been holding the longest in Clintonville. You're on the air. Hello, Susan. Okay, Susan, one more time.
Yes.
You're
this
on
is
the
Susan.
Air.
I'm sorry, I just walked away from the phone for 1 second. I have one question. If the $1,000 payment or whatever, it's not enough to even live on. I have a friend that's trying to live on disability. And also with the food source, if you just bought your chicken or your beef or something from a 4-H FFA kid or farmer that you know, then wouldn't that just kind of put a little thing in their plan, a little burr in their plan?
Well, you're trying to add logic to the discussion.
Yeah.
and mathematics.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you're talking about government controls all the housing and your transportation is all public transportation and on and on and on and on, well, this is just a change to put in your pocket because everything else is taken care of at the, you know, the higher level. So,
thanks for the call.
You know, there's...
John is next. Go ahead, John. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Jim. I'm calling in regards to the American policy that I was brought up with, and that is to have dignity and respect for others. But the way they're teaching the children nowadays, they're dumbing them down. And I'm agreeing with your gentleman host here,
mm-hmm.
that what's going on is it's almost like a self-destruction of America.
Yeah.
When my parents came over, they actually came over with the clothes on their back, and they came from that country over there in Russia and started a new life here. And it's just gone downhill from generation to generation,
sure.
because they took God out of school.
Yeah, John, I'm going to have our guest comment on a statement you made. You used the term self-destruction of America. Tom, is that a good characterization of what Green New Deal, Agenda 2030, Agenda 21 is all about?
Absolutely. You know, when your goal is global governance and you have one country, the most powerful country in the world, that is based on the idea of free enterprise, private property, and individual liberty, and that doesn't fit the mold. So the first thing you've got to do is tear all that down and rebuild it so it's part of the club.
Yeah.
And then we can implement the rest of it. And the reason we're seeing so much turmoil right now is because Donald Trump stood up and has put a monkey wrench into those plans. And when, you know, you hear these politicians now, Pelosi and so forth, saying he's destroying our American dream and our plan. We had so much that we put together. That's what they're talking about. They thought they had one more peg to put in, and with the election of Hillary, and then all of this would be in place, and we would be in lockstep with the rest of the world, and we would have no sovereign nation. It would be a global governments and so forth. And that's why they are so upset right now, because he's put a monkey wrench in it. But they are determined, and I think the one thing he has shown is how powerful they are and how absolutely determined they are to put this policy in place no matter what.
Let's go to James in Eagle, Idaho. You're on the air.
Yes, hi, this is James Patterson. Thanks for taking a call. Just real quick, these individuals that try to get us off of fossil fuels, I don't think they're articulating the fact or understand that, for example, electric cars, when they plug in, where do they think that power is coming from? They'll say, well, it's coming from the power company, which generates natural gas. If it's not natural gas, which is oil field, it's either nuclear, which that's exactly what they're trying to do away with, or coal.
Yeah.
So when you plug these electric cars in, it's all oil field that's providing the power. also the fuels, for example, aviation fuels, regular diesel. That's the first cut off the fractionation columns in the refineries. When they are finished with the crude oil, what comes next is the byproducts. For example, tires, plastics, pharmaceuticals, asphalt that we drive on, all these things are all byproducts. If they were to do away with all the fuels, then all these byproducts would be extremely expensive. For example, you
I tell you what, James, I'm going to have to interrupt you there because we only have a couple minutes. Tom, your response here.
Well, absolutely. This is the goal, is to tear all that down. And, you know, as we've said over and over and over again, this is about top control. Yep. It's about, I've got a HUD report from several years ago that was introduced to one of these global meetings talking about tearing up all the asphalt, you know,
Thank you, James. Again, you see, you exhibit the circular reasoning that have been exhibit there, and it just doesn't hold up. Wayne in Gregory, South Dakota, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm a fourth-generation farmer here in America. I'm 62 years old, and we're in the process of phasing out because financially you can't afford to keep putting in these high input costs that it takes to be a farmer nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we're getting back, most farmers are losing money. The lucky ones are breaking even, maybe making a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been a huge transfer of wealth. Corporate America is taking over the food industry. And before long, the small independent producers like myself, we're going to be gone.
Wayne, I'm going to have we've got 45 seconds left here. Tom, go ahead and respond to Wayne.
You know, this is what we're dealing with, and people don't realize that thousands of farmers have gone out of business over the last several years for exactly what you're describing. And this is what we're trying to stop. They're forcing these sustainable policies on you and taking away your ability to do what you do so well. And, you know, what are we going to eat when all that happens? Take a look at Venezuela. This is where it leads.
Thank you for the call, and I wish we had more time because so many more of you have questions and comments on these issues, but be informed. And Tom, I know you've got much on your website. You've got your books that are available as well, available at AmericanPolicy.org. That's AmericanPolicy.org. Thanks for literally going the extra mile today to join us on the broadcast and to help inform our listeners.
Absolutely. And we've got the 5-point plan. They can take a look at that.
Okay, again, AmericanPolicy.org. We've run out of time, but friends, we thank you for listening and being informed. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.